This is an interview with Mrs. Esther Magnuson for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program by Rich Gustafson at 461 Anawan Lane on April 30th, 10:30 a.m. Okay, Mrs. Esther Magnuson, perhaps you could give us a short statement about when you were first confronted with coming to Evangel Baptist Church, when your husband received a letter from Evangel, and maybe you could relate some experiences about that when you were first contacted about having the pastorate at Evangel.
Well, we were asked to come down here, recommended on the recommendation of Mr. Nygren, former pastor, and we were invited, asked to come to the church, and my husband never candidated.
Oh,
he came, we came to the church, and new to the church, and they were new to us. And we had lived in Saskatchewan, Canada, and it was my first trip to the U.S.
Oh, I see.
And since it was a long distance, we traveled by car until we got near the border. And then we took the train from Regina, Saskatchewan, down to, or from Mideo, Saskatchewan, down to St. Paul, and visited friends there for a while, and then took the train on from St. Paul, Minnesota, to Youngstown. And this was in June of 1937. And our boys were age 2 and 5 at that time. So it was a long trip and quite a, and one of the things that was very new to me was coming to a large city to live. And we arrived during the time when the guards were out, for our protection. Women and children were not allowed downtown. It was a very difficult time during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a strike of some kind. There was some trouble downtown, so that we weren't allowed downtown, which was rather a frightening experience, too. And we were very warmly welcomed at Evangel Baptist. There were several of the members who were there to greet us at the train, and we were tired and very happy to be at our journey's end. And we moved to a house on Warren Court, the parsonage there. And since we had come from such a distance, and we had very few possessions with us, no furniture whatsoever, we didn't know what to expect, but we weren't too worried. And here, when we got to the parsonage, we found that it was almost fully furnished. Beautiful new furniture in our bedroom, and furniture for the children in their bedroom. And there was some used furniture in the living room. And so it was very comfortable and very, very nice. We really appreciated it. And we got a good start there. So I felt quite at home right away, as far as the home was concerned. Mm-hmm. But it was a little difficult getting used to the city. And to the times, you know, the very difficult times because of the war.
The periods, right.
Mm-hmm. It was,
Now you're the pastorate, then you were from 1937 to 1944,
yes.
And this was really one of the roughest times as far as the war period, and also,
yes.
I would imagine quite a few of the men left from Evangel, and perhaps you could relate some experiences about the church as a result of some of the men being over in the war.
Yes, it was difficult in that way because so many of the young men did go away to the service, and it was a difficult time for our families in the church to have these young men leave, and it softened the hearts of many people. They were open to the things of the Lord, really, because times were difficult. But we really missed these young men, and we missed your father, who had to go to the war, to the service. And then we, well, it was just a real adjustment to make. Since it is quite a few years ago, it's just a little hard to
remember everything.
To remember everything, but it was a difficult time. But people seemed to stick together, and it it made the church more conscious of their need of the Lord, and certainly increased the attendance at prayer meeting because people realized the need. During that time, for thinking of their own boys overseas, and then of course it was during the Depression times, which made it a little difficult too.
Maybe you could relate some experiences about the 50th anniversary, which took place in 1940 during your stay at Evangel when you were. Pastor's wife there. Some special celebrations, I understood, took place in 1940. Maybe some reminiscences of this period comes back to you.
50th. Yes, when we had the 50th anniversary of the church, that was a real highlight of the at that time, and a lot of work was done to make the church more attractive, and the membership really rallied around rallied together at that time. It was it was a happy time, and one of the former pastors was called back to minister to the congregation at that time. I don't recall his name. I never met him previous to that time, and I have never met him since. I'm sure that he has passed away by now. But it was a very good time, and there were a lot of pictures taken, and we just had real good attendance, and it was a real good thing for the church, 50th anniversary.
Now, what was the exact size of the membership at this period? How many were attending, if you can remember?
I have no definite figures. But I would imagine, since the church was very small, that if the church were full, it would seat probably 150, maybe. That would be the limit.
I see.
If we used the overflow room. And the attendance, I would imagine, was under 100, usually. One thing that we started, I won't say for sure if we started it, but we did have Vacation Bible School. And we would fill our own car with youngsters. And there was one of our members, Anna Marie Martindale, who brought a load. And between the three of us, my husband and Anna Marie and I, we ran the Vacation Bible School, staffed it and everything.
Single-handedly.
And there was no material available at that time, so we got our own material too.
Oh.
So, but it was very profitable because when you have the Word of God and and a little ingenuity, you can take care of things like that.
Now, in January of 1938, the Swedish language was supplanted really by English in the church. Now, do you remember? Was there still quite a few that could only understand Swedish, or by this time really English was spoken by most of the members?
There were no Swedish services while we were here, except for the Women's Missionary Society. That was all Swedish, which was interesting. But and there was one Swedish Bible class. The older people had adult Bible class was in Swedish. And taught by one of the men in the church. My husband didn't preach Swedish while he was here, although he was fluent in Swedish.
He speaks Swedish.
He had preached Swedish for 7 years while we were while we were still in Canada. He had preached Swedish for the morning services. and then English in the evening. But here in Youngstown, we had only the English, and the Swedish was a second language at that time.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember at this time also the church was really moving towards the Middle East Baptist Conference? They really hadn't made any formal arrangements with the Middle East Baptist, although they also at this time held the annual meeting of the Baptist General Conference at Evangel during the pastorate. Do you remember anything about this experience? And also perhaps you could relate how Evangel was moving in the direction of affiliation with the Middle East Baptist Conference. Do you remember anything about this?
I do remember that there was quite a little bit of, won't say controversy, but there was a little problem there of whether we should go with the American Baptists or the Conference Baptists. And the Conference Baptists were sending their missionaries out under the American Baptist Missionary Society at that time. But there was a strong movement that was growing, and that we have our own Foreign Mission Society, and that we as a church should stick with the Baptist General Conference. And there was quite a little controversy over that, but nothing serious. I don't remember that there was anything really serious. A few of the older members felt that we should go with the American Baptists, and they felt that we should, as young people, go. The young people should be with them, but that we weren't strong enough to have our own. But that changed during the years, and I believe it was while we were here that the decision was made that we go
with the
Middle East Baptist and the Baptist General Conference.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember, as far as physical arrangements in the church, do you remember anything about remodeling of the church's basement or anything that was done as far as to improve the physical structure of the church, anything of this nature about the people joining in to help remodel and renovate some of the areas in the church?
We renovated the lower auditorium, which was the fellowship hall, which was very small, but it was there was work done so that it became quite attractive, really quite attractive. We tried to, something that might be of interest, we tried, the Sunday school all met together for their opening exercises, as they call them, and it was very difficult to get the people to fall in line with having departments, and we tried it for a few Sundays, but the older people missed the little ones who sat on the front row so much that we had to shift back and have all one department meeting for the opening exercises of the Sunday school. Mm-hmm. But there was progress made there too. There were some new classes started, and I feel we were headed in the right direction to help departmentalize the Sunday school and make it into a church where all new people would be more interested in coming.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember anything about how they raised money at this time, as far as maybe ice cream socials or things, personal remembrances?
Very clearly. Something I never did like was raising money by having sales and selling wax paper and so on and so forth. Because we always felt that the money should be given, that the tithes should be given to the Lord. But there was money raised in that way for a while. Of course, now there's nothing like that. We never have any projects for raising money. The money is definitely just given in tithes and offerings. But during those days, people were very, money was very short.
Very short.
And I've often thought people gave of what they had so that if the women could make things at home and sell them to someone, then it was their gift to mm-hmm. the Lord. And I've thought of that, that you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any money, and very few people had any more money than they could, well, than they needed just to keep up their homes and feed their families. So looking at it that way, I feel I've come to think that perhaps that this wasn't such a bad thing at that time. But in this generation, we just don't do yeah. that anymore in our churches.
That's right. Perhaps you could give some recollection of when, during your stay also, I understand the mortgage was burned on your parsonage, and that must have been, the mortgage was finally paid. Perhaps that was a happy experience, and maybe there was a celebration or something at the church. Could you recall?
I don't remember, really remember too much about that. I really don't remember much about that. I do remember the mortgage was paid.
Mm-hmm.
And probably then the financial burden was much less,
mm-hmm.
because I know that we were given small increases in salary. And that lightened our burden too. I thought something interesting. We like to have company, and one way of the church growth was I strongly believe was through trying to keep in touch with any visitors that came, and trying to have every family in the church over at one time or another for meals or
mm-hmm.
after the evening service. And I feel that this was one of the ways that new people were reached. And there were new people coming constantly when the church became more less Swedish orientated mm-hmm. and more Americanized.
Right.
And we tried not to slight any the older ones who preferred the Swedish.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, both my husband was fluent in Swedish, and I understood it and mm-hmm. could speak it a little bit. So that helped, you know. But we were trying to reach out and get new people.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be of interest that during that time, when money was so scarce, my husband asked permission of the church to work part-time outside of the church. And so he worked at the post office and made friends there, and just working at the post office, and this was part-time. And then he carried mail for a while, and he made a lot of contacts just through his mail, just delivering mail. And it opened up new opportunities of witness and meeting new people and so on, and it helped us financially, which it's very difficult to be in a position of leadership and not have what you need financially.
Yeah.
But times were so hard for everyone then, but it was difficult to entertain if we didn't have the money to buy the food and so on. So this helped us considerably, and it just made a big difference to us that he had this extra money.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really interfere with his church work, because he was very conscientious about visitation and taking care of everything that needed to be done at church.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about the services. How often they were held, the prayer meetings on Wednesday, and what was the usual format, and maybe you could relate some of the people that you stick out in your mind as being instrumental leaders in the church. Of course, I'm sure there's quite a few that come to your mind,
yes.
But perhaps you could...
Well, I'd like to say that your grandparents were some of the leaders in the church, and they were... We visited in the Fred Johnson home a good bit, and they were very, very supportive. And one of the things that was really difficult and yet drew us together so much as a church was the fact that there were several who passed away during that time, a short period of time. And one of the first ones was your grandfather, Fred Johnson. And your mother came over to tell us about it, and it was it shook us all up, I guess. And then there was shortly after that Sam Port, one of the leaders in church, passed away, and there were just so many in just a short time that it really made everyone really think about their life here on earth mm-hmm. and hereafter. It made a big difference. I'll say our fellowship became closer. It seemed like we felt we needed each other and be supportive of each other during that time. It was really difficult. But you asked about the church. There was Wednesday night services. Well, they were much better attended. During that time of our great need because of so much sorrow in the church. Mm-hmm. And we met every Wednesday evening and then Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And then the different groups, the youth groups, had meetings, and they would meet after church Sunday night in different homes. Mm-hmm. And the youth group grew. I remember one Wednesday night, my husband was concerned about the fact that there were so few young people at the midweek service. Mm-hmm. So he decided he was going to change that. And he asked at least 10 young people to give their testimonies at the Wednesday night service. And they were all there and they gave their testimonies, and it was really an inspiration to all who were present, showing the interest of the young people in the church. It's really great.
Yeah, maybe you could also talk about the church now. At this time was affiliated with the Trumbull Association.
Yes.
And maybe you could relate an experience about this association and what were the reasons that maybe drew Evangel out of this and towards the Middle East Baptist Conference. What were the reasonings behind this, and perhaps some of the contact that was made between this association and Evangel? And
well, I can't say for sure what was the deciding factor, but I do know that the fact that my husband was so much in favor of us going with the Middle East and the Baptist mm-hmm. General Conference had a tremendous influence on. And he always went to the conferences and came back with the reports.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel that that was one of the strong factors in our being with the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Now that may be an overstatement, but I don't think so.
No, I think that's probably right. Now, I mentioned earlier we held in June of 1942, there was the annual meeting that was actually held at Evangel. And maybe you could talk about some of the people that were there from the Baptist General Conference that talked, and maybe some of your recollections. I know this is quite some time ago,
yeah.
But maybe about that annual meeting that was held there, and if this was a critical meeting or that to support this move.
I really couldn't say. I do not recollect attending many of those meetings because I was at home with the children a good bit. Mm-hmm. And I do not, but we did, I do remember we had many conference speakers, and some of them may have been at that time. One of the conference speakers of our men was Eric Frickenberg, mm-hmm. A missionary, and he was just tremendous man, and with such a message and devotion to his work, and he was one of our conference missionaries. And we did try to have as many of our conference people in as we possibly could. Mm-hmm. From headquarters, but I really don't recollect that annual meeting. I probably didn't attend mm-hmm. the business sessions because of the children.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember much of correspondence with some of these men that were in service overseas? Was there much contact, letters that were written perhaps from these men in that related some of their experiences, and do you remember much of this?
Yes, I know that my husband kept up a correspondence mm-hmm. with the men in the service, and they wrote back. They were happy to get the mail and wrote to him. Didn't have any part in that at all, mm-hmm. but we did keep in touch with them. And it was a hard time for all of them. Mm-hmm. My own brother-in-law, Donald Gustafson, was in the service, mm-hmm. which and wasn't an easy time for him. I don't think many of our servicemen ever really related what the things that they did go through during that time, because they wanted to forget them, if anything. Mm-hmm. But there were some letters that there's one letter that. One of that your father saved, he gave us a copy of the letter that was written by my husband to him while he was in service. Mm-hmm. And then when all the men came back, we moved to Davenport, Iowa in 44, and when all the men came back from the service, we made the trip back here too. And he was the speaker at a banquet that was held in the Covenant Church. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In honor of the fellows who returned. And I don't believe that there were any whose lives were taken from our church here in Davenport. In Youngstown. We were living in Davenport at the time. And one of the men there, he was killed in the service. But none of the ones from Evangel. Mm-hmm. So. And we had an interesting thing was that we had such a good relationship with the Covenant Church that right across the street from us. Mm-hmm. And every summer, the pastor of the Covenant Church would have a month's vacation, and my husband would combine. While the pastor of the Covenant Church was on vacation, and my husband took care of all the services for him, plus our own, we met together. I don't know how we could have done it, and how they could all come over to our church. I just don't remember how we managed that. But we did work so that he served as the pastor of that congregation while their pastor was on vacation. Mm-hmm. And while we were away, the Covenant pastor took over at our church. Mm-hmm. And the two congregations were very, very friendly, and it was really a nice relationship. And we got to know the members of the Covenant Church very well. And during the time their pastor was away, there were funerals, why, of course, my husband officiated, and weddings and so on, and the same when we were gone. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things that I thought was very, very fine. You don't find that kind of cooperation between churches at all times.
No, that's true. That's very true.
You
going to
break for some coffee?
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
Are you going to start?
Yeah. Perhaps maybe you could just sum up some things, personal reminiscences that you have of your stay at Evangel and some of the friendships that you formed, and maybe just talk generally about the experience that you had at the church.
Well, I'm just so thankful that we were permitted to be at Evangel for those 7 years. They were a growing and learning experience for me. And we made many lasting friendships. After serving churches in different places, after we left here, in Davenport, Iowa, and Seattle, Washington, and then at Avon Lake, Ohio, I have come back here to Youngstown to live, and I'm again a member of Evangel Baptist Church. And I find some of the same people, some of the people are still real active members of the church all these years later. And that to me says a lot for the fellowship that we have in the Lord at Evangel. And I just am so thankful to be back now at the present time. It's Reverend Richard Olson is the pastor, and he and his wife have been serving the church here for some 9 years at this time, and the church has grown, and there's a wonderful fellowship and relationship between the members who were quite youthful during the time that we were at the church, and the many, many new people, and it is, has become definitely an English-speaking church. There are a few people who still know the Swedish language, but very few. And I just am thankful for this. My own son, who was only 5 years old when we came here, was baptized and joined the church during the time that we were at Evangel originally. And he is at this time a professor at Bethel Seminary, and the librarian of the seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And our other son, who was only 2 years old when we came to Evangel, is a pastor of Galilee Baptist Church. He's the pastor of Galilee Baptist Church in Circle Pines, Minnesota. And that's just about 10 miles from Bethel College and Seminary. So I'm real thankful for having had the privilege of being a minister's wife. It has really been a wonderful experience for me. And I've met some of the world's finest people, I think, because we've had opportunities to entertain missionaries and ministers and their families in our home. We've always had practiced hospitality, and we were the ones who gained from it, I do believe. And they had a tremendous influence on our children. They just loved it when visiting ministers stayed at our house and missionaries. And I think it really influenced them. And I'm very, very thankful for each one. And our daughter is very active in the church work, which she's married and living in Atlanta, Georgia. So she's serving as an organist in this large Southern Baptist church. So all of my children are in really church work, and I'm just real thankful for that. So it's just been a real privilege to be active in the Lord's work, and I try to stay that way now that I am a widow. And I'm just real thankful for every opportunity, and even for this opportunity of sharing something of the past with you, Rick. So thankful for your parents for their input into the church work, even at this time, too.
Thank you.
And I think that's all
okay
for now.
All right, thank you.